Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everyone, hello and welcome to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
Moo cow.
And Johnson.
Secret phrases.
Secret phrases is not the secret phrase, guys. But we got a great episode for you this week. To start off, we've got another giveaway for everybody. We're giving away two tickets to this Thursday night's game against Austin Peay for West Virginia University. Thanks to the guys at Voice of West Virginia and Voice of Motown. You got to check those guys out online. They are giving us an opportunity to give away two more tickets to the game on Thursday night. Great seats from our last winner, Drew, who won. He sent us pictures. Great seats. Here's how you win, guys. Are you ready for this? Scoot, are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Scoot, are you ready?
I am
Scoot,
ready.
You can't win, Scoot. I hate to tell you that because you're part of the show, but...
Oh, I didn't hear that disclaimer.
Yeah, sorry. You can't win. You can stand outside the Coliseum and beg for tickets. All you have to do to win is direct message us on Twitter or Facebook. Send us a message. We're at Got Your Ears on Twitter, or you can find us on Facebook, Got Your Ears On. All you have to do, send us a message with the secret phrase. And the secret phrase is, guys, Huggy Bear. All you got to do, hit us up, the secret phrase, Huggy Bear, in either our Facebook or our Twitter direct messages, and you'll be entered in a chance to win two tickets to Thursday night's Austin Peay game. You got to have those entries in by Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m. this week to get a chance to win. But two tickets, guys, it's gonna be a blast.
Yeah, really cool. Super cool.
Yeah, so we'll talk basketball in segment two, but guys, something very special here to start off the show. We have our first interview on Got Your Ears On.
Yes. And not just any interview.
It's not like interviewing me.
Right.
Yeah, it's not. And you would have thought, you know, Got Your Ears On, these guys are probably, they're going to interview like the assistant to the assistant of the equipment manager to come on and talk about like what color jerseys are going to be used next year or something, right? That's what you would expect from us.
Or maybe one of the workers in the CSC yellow jackets.
Right, exactly. Like
for the event staff.
Right, the event staff. You would think, hey, those Got Your Ears On guys, they're going to get somebody from the event staff to
mop kid from the Cancun Challenge.
Probably a good interview.
It probably would be a good interview. I mean, I hit that guy up on DM and he kind of just ignored me.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's at Mop Guy on Twitter. I don't know.
Seems rude.
But anyways, no, guys, Mr. Darius Stills, defensive lineman, Big 12 first team defensive player this year.
Yes.
Came and got to be on our show. So what we're going to do, we're going to let you listen to it. We'll talk a little bit about what Darius had to say here at the end. But here is Darius Stills talking to me a little bit about his experience at West Virginia University and just some other random stuff, too. All right, we're super excited to have Darius Stills, Big 12, first team all defense, breakout star this year for the Mountaineers on the defensive side, joining us here and Got Your Ears On. Darius, thanks for joining us, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. I heard y'all's podcast a couple times. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, it's going to be great, man. So, big stuff going on the last 2 weeks for you. After the TCU game, you kind of came out and said, you know, what to do, thinking about, you know, what you want to do if you want to think about NFL. I'm sure you talked to coaches and family, friends, the advisory committee, all that. What, at the end of the day, what was sort of the driving factor for you to stay?
See, when I tweeted that tweet out, it had nothing to do with football. Like, I was talking about, you know, what to do with, like, my day, because, you know, we didn't have football that, you know, we didn't even make a bowl game, so.
Yeah,
I just didn't know what to do with my life, you know. And then all of a sudden, like about 20 minutes later, people are like, "Oh, you're declaring?" I'm like, "What are you? What's going on?" And you know, all these articles came out, stuff like that I was thinking about declaring. But I did think about it a little bit, but at the end of the day, I feel like if I stay one more year, then I would develop more and, you know, go higher in the draft.
Yeah, no, man, that's definitely cool. How much, like, playing with Dante, is that like a big thing too? I mean, another year with him, and that's also kind of a big factor, wouldn't it?
Oh, for sure, because, you know, this year we just had, we made a lot of plays and all that, but I feel like since we're going to get more comfortable with the scheme, we're going to make just a lot more, you know, because year one of the new defense scheme, we still have a little bit, like, tweaks in the, you know, the fronts and all that. But Dante and I are going to get used to the defense, and this coming year is going to be even better.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. We'll all look forward to it. You and your brother, kind of competitive. It sounds like, you know, the meet me there, beat me there thing that kind of came out and all that. Does that apply to everything? Like getting to the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, getting under the tree. Is that how that works?
When we was younger, yes. Dante would wake up. We'd wake up so early just to look at our presents because we knew we could open it until my mom got up. But yeah. That whole meet me there, beat me there, you know, that kind of does apply to everything we do. You know, like I used to tell Dante when we were younger, you know, if one don't make it to the league, the other one does. And like I said, if not, we both go to the league. So that's kind of where it all started. And my dad once said, you know, you guys should like make something up so like the people know like what you guys got going on. And I said, oh, maybe that'd be
right. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's great. And, you know, you've also got a younger brother too, man. And I hear he's quite the athlete. Who's got more pictures on your mom's Facebook page, you, Dante, or your younger brother?
I think the youngest brother, Deshaun, does for sure.
Yeah, for sure. He's quite. I've heard you talk about him a couple times. He's quite the baseball player.
Oh, he is. He's a very good baseball player. You know, he likes football and he likes basketball, but his passion really is baseball. And he's really good at it too. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully one day he makes it to the pros in baseball.
So you and me, we're both from Fairmont, both Fairmont Senior High grads. Go Polar Bears. Tough loss last week.
Tough loss. Right.
But what's your favorite thing about Fairmont, man, growing up in Fairmont?
I think one of my favorite things about Fairmont is just being how comfortable I am there. You know, you don't got to worry about crime. You don't worry about really nothing there because, you know, everybody knows each other in that whole town, and everybody's just nice to each other. So that's the kind of thing I like is that you have to feel safe.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
My family's there. My mom's there. Right. That's another reason why I like it so much. But, you know, just how comfortable it is down there.
So the real question everybody wants to know, are you a hot dog guy or are you like pepperoni rolls?
I like pepperoni rolls.
Yeah, all right. You're a Country Club Bakery pepperoni roll guy.
I like both. You know, I'll take a hot dog every once in a while, but really I can get a nice pepperoni roll.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm a pepperoni roll guy too. I'll take pepperoni rolls anytime over the hot dogs. We speaking of Fairmont too, man. We have a new Fairmont boy coming on the team next year, Zach Frazier. I know he's on the other side of the ball, but he looks like he's going to be a pretty good player.
Oh, he's a monster. You know, I noticed that the first day he stepped up on high school, my junior year, just a straight dog monster. He's going to be insane. He's already athletic. He's very smart. So once he applies like the lifting, you know, and all that, he's going to be something to mess with for real.
So there has been a ton of talk, man, about you and the NFL and your future and all that. And I'm sure, you know, everybody would say, hey, you know, I'd love to be on any roster in the NFL in your position. But if you had to pick, man, like what NFL team would you love to play for? Your dad was a Chief. He played for the Ravens. Like where would you love to play?
Where I would like to play, somewhere close to home. But also I'm very familiar with Kansas City. I've been out there a lot for my dad's stuff. But actually, I like it. Honestly, any team that want to draft me, I know you said something about saying that, but really, like, if I were to play for a team, it'd probably be the Chiefs or, like, somewhere, Steelers, Ravens, somewhere out here.
Next year, man, so coming back senior year, you and your brother both had 7 sacks this year. Your dad, in 1997, I think, had 12 sacks that season. How big of it for one of you guys to try to beat your dad?
Oh, it's because it'd be pretty cool because, you know, when we was younger, we'd say, Dad, we're gonna get more sacks than you, like, whenever we're in college, stuff like that. We're gonna break your sack record, stuff like that. And so it'd be really cool to, like, break that record. But that's my sack. Like, my sack goal next year is, like, 13 sacks.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great if you could best your dad on that one.
Sure. And Dante and I are gonna be bigger, better, faster than we are this year because, you know, this is my last year. And
yeah.
Nothing's guaranteed after these 12 games, 13 games we got to play. So, Dante and I got to up it on a whole nother level. 2020 is going to be something special for our defense.
So, you got recruited under the last regime, if you will. Kind of recruited. I know you committed to Rutgers, and then they kind of wooed you back to WVU, which was awesome. But halfway through your career here at WVU, you've gotten to switch over to new coaching staff, a whole new coaching staff with Coach Brown, Coach Vic. What's that been like for you, changing over like that?
It's, you know, you don't know what to expect, especially when it first like happens and stuff. But it's been really cool. You know, I like the coaching staff a lot. Coach Leslie, he's if not one of the best coaches, if he's the best D-line coach I feel like in the country, because he knows what he's talking about, and it kind of shows our D-line was the most the most dominant force on the field this year. So, and his coach staff, you know, especially because Vic's scheme, you know, allows the defensive line to use their athletic ability a little bit. You know, because that's kind of that three front, you got to just take on blocks for the backers or people in the back end to make plays. But this year, you know, he allowed the D-line to express their athletic ability and make plays.
Yeah, definitely, man. You guys, you know, every game now it's become a big thing. This wasn't back when your dad played. It was all, you know, blue and blue pants, blue jerseys or white jerseys. You know, now you guys have all these different, you know, schemes with jerseys. You got the gold, you got the gray, you got what's your preferred jersey?
My preferred jersey, I honestly like the white helmet, blue jersey, and white pants. Like
yeah.
Something white.
Yeah, that's a good look.
We haven't had that since my freshman year.
Yeah, really? It's been that long? It's been that long.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I always like that combination. But, like, yeah. I do like the all blue, the true blue.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite ones.
So, Reese Donahue, graduate. He's gone now. He was sort of the leader coming into this year a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. Do you feel like that's going to be your role for next year, you know, as a senior and all the press you've been getting? You sort of that feel like you're going to kind of take that role from what Reese did this year?
Reese Donahue held the D-line together. You know, he's definitely our leader of the D-line. I've said that, you know, he was our glue to the D-line. He kept making sure everybody was all good and all. He checked up on us all the time, make sure we were, you know, sponsored film and all that stuff. So, yeah, like Reese, he left a big role for me to do, but I feel like, you know, with the help of my teammates, stuff like that, then we'll get the job done. We'll make sure everybody is like all good, you know, because you can't replace somebody like Reese Donahue.
And when you're out there, you're getting the guys pumped up. You're talking to him. Does Dante listen, or does he try to step on you a little bit?
No, Dante listens. You know, we listen to each other. You know, when he kind of pumps us up, you know, I listen, and vice versa. But you know, the one that really tried to pump us up on the field, what he actually did was Reuben Jones. You know, number 91. He brought the juice to the D-line every day, practice every game. He's also like one of the people that held us together, also with like our attitudes, like our mental, you know.
And it showed this year, man. You guys looked great this year. It was fun to watch. I know that I don't think it finished the way you all had hoped it would finish, but I think for a lot of us, especially as fans, it finished strong with the TCU game, and defense looked great, and I hope you guys had fun in that game.
Well, for sure. Yeah, we had really fun, you know. Our defense has fun regardless of what, you know, the score is, because, you know, if you're not having fun, then why play football? It was a really fun time. And especially that TCU game, it was kind of emotional because, you know, all the seniors that we, I've been with for the last 3 years are gone, and it's going to feel kind of weird not having them, you know, be the leaders of the team. So I'm going to miss them a lot. But yeah, I feel like that's my role is going to turn to, you know, leader. I feel like I'm a leader now, but now since what I've done, like what I've done, this guy, I got to step it up.
Yeah, definitely, man. Coach Brown, new this year. I think everybody loves him in West Virginia. It seems like you guys love him as a team, right? He seems real down to earth.
Yeah, because he loves us. You know, he's a very – he stays very close to the team. He's like a player's coach. He emphasizes family a lot. He talks about the right things all the time. And he gets that, you know, we're athletes, but we're also just normal people as well. And we all love him a lot. We do.
But he's not a good dancer. He had that viral video when he did the piped up video with Troy. Does he dance for you guys? You guys see him dance?
Nah, he don't do that with us. But, you know, a couple times we were like before the games, they play a song, we get huddled, and he would jump up and down and get us excited. But other than that, I haven't seen him dance.
Was that when you guys heard he was announced as the head coach last year? Was that the first thing you guys all watched as a team? Is that piped up video and saw him out there?
I heard about that video, but I didn't really believe it, and I didn't even look it up either. I was like, "This our coach can't be doing this." But you know, I saw the video. He actually showed us the video. I think the first or second meeting, just so we can just get out of our systems, and we all just laughing about it. So he knows. He knows it's funny.
He seems like it's really great for you guys, man. And we're all real proud of you, man. You're doing great out there. It was great to see you have a breakout season. I hope next year is 10 times better for you, and you get to You get to go in the draft the following year, and we'll follow you all the way through. Darius, man, I really appreciate you being on the show with us this week. And stay in touch, man. Don't be a stranger.
Oh, for sure. No, it was a fun time. Like I said, I heard your podcast, and I was in there like, oh, it's like, no, he's listening to us anyway. Really, I was. That's why I thought it was so funny. And I figured it'd be fun to be on the show. So thank you for having me.
Awesome, man. Thanks for being on. All right, we appreciate it.
For sure. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, guys, so what did you think? Darius, cool guy, good time. It was fun talking to him.
I was pretty impressed. I'm a little, I guess, downtrodden that he really kind of dismissed hot dogs altogether.
Well, he didn't dismiss hot dogs altogether.
No, he said he was a pepperoni roll guy. That's all, Scoot.
You got to be a pepperoni roll guy. Fairmont guys are pepperoni roll guys off the top. Like, we got to be pepperoni roll guys. Like, come on.
I mean, I get it, but I think hot dogs deserve a little bit more love than what he gave.
You're a hot dog guy, though, right?
Yeah,
Scoot?
That's from
over
your
pepperoni rolls, probably so.
Yeah, see, Johnson's a pepperoni roll guy.
Yeah,
he's
all
not
day.
Picking, yeah.
All
yeah.
day, every day.
We're from West Virginia. You're not. That's how it ends.
So I think it's cool he took the time out to talk to us. And I think it's super interesting that his first comment to you was, hey, that tweet wasn't as assuming as everyone thought it was.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because, I mean, and we were as guilty as the next person because, I mean, I think I tweeted it out on our I Got Your Ears account, like, instantaneously after we saw it, saying, oh my gosh, what's happening? You know, and so...
when everyone's so hypersensitive and, you know, following the...
And I also think it shows you that, like, you can't, every social media, man, you got to just be careful because, like, you say one thing and people are going to, like, read into it a million different ways.
Yeah, right.
You know?
And if you're pessimistic WVU fans like you and I are, Guido, then you immediately assume he's leaving the team. Don't do it. Oh, please don't do it.
I thought it was really cool talking to him about Reese Donahue,
yes.
And the whole leadership of the defense. You know, and to hear that Reuben Jones, who, you know, I had a good season, don't get me wrong, but he definitely wasn't a name that you heard called out every, you know, other play like Dante's or even Reese Donahue's or Darius's. Like, it wasn't like you heard his name called out as much. It was great to hear that he was a real leader on that team.
And yeah. I think he came in, he's a grad transfer from Michigan, so it's probably really neat for other guys too. It kind of gives credence to what the coaching staff is telling you when other guys come in and say, you know what, we've been doing the same kind of thing, or this is how it worked where we were. And I think that gives guys a little bit of comfort as to what their coaching staff, a little bit more buy-in as to what the coaches are doing. So I'm sure that was a big help, not only to the players, but probably the coaching staff as well. When you've got a veteran guy like Reuben coming in and kind of, like he said, bringing the juice.
Yeah.
To the,
yeah. No
to
doubt.
The line.
Yeah. I think we forget, you know, a lot of times as fans and stuff, you know, I mean, like, these guys, you know, this is big time for them, and there's a lot of pressure on them, I think, from you know, a media and all these people watching standpoint. But at the end of the day, I mean, they're just out there trying to play a game and have fun, and that's what he said. You know, it's all about having fun, and
yeah.
Why would he do it if it wasn't
yeah.
fun?
Well, and like the comments he made to you about playing with his brother, you know, he specifically saying, you know, we're coming into the senior year, we got 12 more opportunities. I mean, that you kind of forget about the context of some of that stuff. You know, they're living it every day, every season.
Scoot, here's my question for you, Scooty. Would you want to be between the Stills brothers and a Christmas tree on December 25th?
Not likely. I imagine some of those presents were probably like a fumble, right? There's a,
yeah,
a loose
right.
a loose
yeah.
ball on the field. Some of those presents probably were tackled. Especially, I would say, maybe more so between the ages of like 5 and 10. Hopefully not within the last 2 or 3 years, because that would be kind of socially awkward, I guess, for everyone to watch.
You never know.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
see these gigantic guys going after a box of who knows what, but I think that would be a sight to see. And I do share something in common where they had to wait for the mom to be there to
yeah
before they could open up stuff.
Yeah, he specifically said that. Yeah,
is that the rule in your house too, Johnson? The kids can't touch the gifts until you and the wife get downstairs.
Yeah, that's right. There's protocol.
There's rules, man. You got to follow the rules.
Come on, yeah, come on. We are rule followers.
So, one thing that I didn't get a chance to talk to him about was, you know, he was first. I mean, we did say he was first team all Big 12, but his brother second team. I mean, we had a couple of guys come out this week on the Big 12 awards that looked pretty good for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think you forget, you know, we focus on someone like Darius that gets seemingly all the media attention, but Colton McKivitz, co-offensive lineman of the year in the conference, and then we had Keith Washington and who am I forgetting? Josh Norwood, make the second team defense as well. So, you know, I also congrats to those guys. That's high accolades. And I think it's excellent to see the defense get some recognition because I think we all agree they had such a solid season.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a standout. And you look at that, you know, you look at that team next year. I mean, there weren't a lot of seniors we lost. I mean, you know, obviously Reese Donahue, Reuben Jones was a grad transfer senior. So he's gone. Everybody else, though, were juniors, sophomores. You know, so it was a we've got a lot of people coming back on the defense next year that hopefully will help us out.
Yeah, and you got to imagine being kind of thrown into the fire this year. You know, we had talked about it on some earlier shows. If they could just kind of get through the pain of getting, you know, getting some things figured out, then that's great experience rolling into next year.
No, yeah, definitely. I think I think everybody's excited about next year. Scooty, what did you think about Darius talking about coach and the piped updates?
I thought it was good for Coach Brown to maybe get that out in front of him. He said that he kind of showed the guys the video early on just to kind of get the laughs out of the way, so this thing wasn't haunting him throughout the throughout the preseason or into this, you know, who knows. If you watch that video though, there are some decent dance moves. I believe Coach Pogue's got some moves.
Yeah, Coach Brown, maybe not so much. Coach Pogue, he's got some moves.
So I was pretty impressed with his moves. Darius did say that he's not seen Coach Brown dance so much yet. So
right, yeah,
we'll see.
Right.
Now they did go to a concert this weekend. So I don't know. Maybe he went to the DaBaby concert. So maybe Coach Brown did do a little dancing, and Darius was just keeping that under wraps. But it sounds like Coach Brown's a fun guy to play for and be around, and Darius had some pretty nice things to say about him. So I think WVU not only got the right guy, but got the right guy at the right time, because as you've seen in college football, we've had four SEC teams have been looking for new coaches.
Yeah,
and you got to believe that if Coach Brown was still at Troy, he'd be one of those four coaches. He'd fill
those certainly be on the short list. That's for sure.
Think about it this way, guys. Think about it this way, guys. Like, if last year hadn't happened, ended the way it did, and Hoagie hadn't left, we'd probably be right now talking about firing him and having a buyout. We'd probably be looking on the coaching market, which is crazy this year. I mean, just insane this year, all the teams that are compared to last year. You know, we wouldn't be getting a Neil Brown type, I don't think. I think we were very lucky to have everything kind of fall into place like it did. And from talking with Darius, it really does sound like, you know, Coach Brown really connects with these players, you know, and really, you know, the whole family aspect, the whole, you know, trust the climb. It sounds like they've really connected, where I don't know if that was necessarily true last year or in the last couple of years.
Well, and Darius had some really nice compliments for Coach Leslie too, his position coach. So I think, you know, it's not only Coach Brown. I think that's where we focus. But like you said earlier, it's more who these guys are really making relationships with more at their position too.
Yeah, we definitely forget that. I think Scoot said the other day, like, we always think about head coaches and coordinators. You know, you don't think about, you know, these guys spend a lot of time, you know, with their position coach. So yeah, it's good to hear that.
But to your point though, I think it would be a terrible time now for WVU. Maybe if you're one of these SEC teams, not so much. But I think it would be a terrible time now, competing with them in this coaching carousel this year. So I totally agree that what seemed like a terrible thing at the time, Coach Hogue's leaving for a non-Power 5 school, I think we're going to be happy that it worked out that way in the long run.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, guys, it was great talking with Darius. Hope we stay connected with him, and I can't wait to see next season and see what he can do on the field and see him get – I like the fact that his goal is to beat his dad's 12 sacks.
Yeah, I love that. I love that comment. Super excited for him and super proud of him too. I mean, those guys are doing great.
Well, he's got he's got three strong fans here in us, so we're excited for him. You know, I will keep him in mind if my tryout for the Rough Riders goes well. I can maybe be a link to some pro ball for him. So I will.
I'm sure he will appreciate that, Scoot.
I'll definitely help him out. I'll return the favor by him doing the interview. Maybe I can help him out.
Yeah, right. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we thank Darius for being on the show. It was awesome. Listen, let's take a break. Let's hear from our sponsor, Vortech Knives. You can get 25% off of your order. You can still get your stuff before Christmas if you put your orders in this week, folks. So use the code GYEO at VortechKnives.com, and you can get 25% off your entire order. So get your hunter, your family member that loves to go hunting, get him a new knife, and or her. I mean, you know, she could be hunting too, right?
Sure.
You know, I could be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, come on. Yeah.
Come on. This is 2019.
Come on.
2019.
You're going to cook a ham this Christmas? Get you a knife. You can carve that bird or that ham.
So that ham. So visit VortechKnives.com to get 25% off. Listen, we'll be right back. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
This is Darius Stills. You're listening to You Got Your Ears On.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, check us out on Twitter, at Got Your Ears. It's kind of a place where we just put our daily musings or whatever pops in our head, whatever, you know, kind of makes fun of Scooty along the way because of whatever random thing is happening in the world that would frighten him, you know, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and we just stuff that we find WVU related, we immediately retweet it out. So it's a good follow if you're a fan.
So as much as I would love to do like another segment talking about Darius Stills, because that was just so awesome.
Epic. Yeah,
it was just epic. Great. I mean, it was great. It's great. He's I have to tell you, just a little side note, guys, like that whole fan of the show thing he was saying, it makes me tear up a little bit.
Well, and look, we're fans first and foremost. So just to get some, you know, just to let him know that we're rooting for him and for him to take a minute to talk to us. That's great stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm a fan of him. He shouldn't be a fan of us. We're just
sure. Yeah,
we're three jamokes talking about nothing. Like, you know what do we know? So speaking of talking about nothing, let's talk about this Saturday basketball game against St. John's.
If we have to,
that we lost. We lost the game, guys.
Yes.
How do you feel?
I feel like we played well enough to lose. If you want my honest opinion.
I'm going to take you down a path, John.
All right.
I'm going to take you down a path that is usually I'm with you. Usually I'm on the Johnson train. I'm like, woe is me. I'm like Eeyore in the cloud of rain following me around when it comes to West Virginia sports. I'm going to tell you something. This St. John's loss is a good loss. I'm happy about this loss.
You're going to good loss me? That's what you're going to do here?
I'm going to good loss you on this one.
Have you been drinking the Scoot Kool-Aid or something?
I'm drinking Dasani right now.
Hey, listen, they're not a paid sponsor. I'm taking you down the fact that, like, this is a good loss because...
Well, I mean, I'll follow you, but explain your logic. Like, tell me...
Okay, I think that it was time... You know, we were going into this game. We were 7-0. We, you know, had decimated a couple of teams, you know, along the way. We beat Pitt pretty handily. You know, none of our games had been that close. I mean, the Wichita State game was close. The UNI game was close-ish. But this was a loss that these guys needed to realize that they have to work together and play ball in order to win. And I think that this was a time that this is going to be a loss that pulls our boys together. Right, Stu?
Okay. All right.
Yes. And I'm going to even go as far to say that the style of basketball that we saw in this game is different than what we'd seen in the 7 games prior, in that this was almost vintage Big East. Like, you had to put on your man pants.
Yeah,
you weren't wearing those booty huggers for this one. This was going to be a man pants kind of game where
you don't have your Rhode Island booty huggers on for this.
No,
game.
You don't have those roadie huggers. You're wearing your full on. Like, you almost needed padding for this one because this was a lot of fouls. It got a little chippy in the start of the second half.
Yeah.
There was a play there where Derek Culver was a little animated with, I believe it was Figueroa. Figueroa was going after the ball, heading toward the bench or the sideline area there. And Derek Culver gave him a little bit of what for, a little bit of the how's your father to the under not to the undercarriage. He didn't do that, but he did give him a little bit of the
that
business.
Would at least be that would have at least been a flagrant one, Scoot. I'm sure.
Yeah,
he didn't
definitely
do that.
That's definitely a flagrant.
Yeah,
one.
But okay, so but there was a little bit of something extra on the push into the bench area.
Well, and am I supposed to believe you're just not going to talk about, to my horror, there was another sham penny.
There was another sham penny on the floor.
Are you kidding me?
We are all about the sham penny brothers on this show, man.
Champagne-y?
First of all, I didn't, when I heard it announced,
did they celebrate this one with some champagne?
I was like, there's no way. You're like, there's two, they're brothers is what it comes to be. They're his brother.
I was like, there's another one? For goodness sake.
Champagne.
Now, something interesting about St. John's is St. John's has a player. Their leading scorer is from my area where I grew up.
Okay.
And
all right.
I got to believe the reason why he's so good is because as a young child, he was probably watching some of the legends play at Bunker Hill Park and may have picked up a couple of, you know, tricks of the trade,
pointers from you.
Yeah. So
would you have been on this court?
I might have been on that court at some point. So
I see.
It's very
possible
that he was watching a little bit of what I got.
Well, was he the same person that slipped and fell into Derek Culver in that last foul? Because maybe he picked
not different guy. Different guy altogether.
Okay,
no,
I was thinking maybe he picked that up from you.
How yeah. You? So it was a rough game. You know, I had said we were at one point, I think down 10 or 12 with like 10 minutes left to go in the game. And I it was just, to me, it was too much of a climb to get back into it.
So you were not trusting the climb?
They were not trusting the climb, the basketball climb. They played great. Those last, 4 minutes or so of the game, they came back. They looked great. They outplayed St. John's the last 4 minutes of the game. It just wasn't enough to get back and take the win. And, I mean, yes, that call at the end of the game, you know, I don't even know what to say about it. It was terrible. You know?
Well, it didn't. I'm not bringing it up because I think that wins or loses the game. I'm just saying it's like one of those salt in the wound thing. You've clawed your way back all the way from a double digit lead, and then something like that happens. I just don't understand it.
And I think a coach would say, I think Huggins or any other coach would say, listen, that call wasn't why we lost the game, and that call wasn't why they lost the game.
Right. I agree.
And unfortunately, I would say 60%, this is maybe a high estimate, but 60% of all foul
you
calls.
You with a high estimate? I'm going to try to prepare myself for this comment, but go ahead.
I would say 60% of all foul calls are anticipation calls. They're not necessarily actual fouls. And this was definitely one of those.
But don't you hate that? Ugh, I can't stand that, though.
Should that be a reviewable call? Like, should Huggins be able to throw a red handkerchief out onto the court?
Oh, that's good. What would Huggs throw, though, if there was a challenge?
I don't think he'd throw
a stool, right? He'd throw, like, a stool out or something.
I think he's done that before. I think he's actually thrown a stool out there before.
I don't know that that's safe for the players.
No. That's probably
throwing something out there like that.
You know what else is not safe for the players? 22 turnovers. That is not safe for them. I have to think that there's 22 treadmills now lined up in the Coliseum waiting on them when they get home. To me, that was a very uncharacteristic thing for this team. I criticize our passing in general, but I think for us, that is a lot of turnovers.
Now, if there were to be this challenge flag per se,
okay.
What would be a realistic way to denote that you want a challenge? A buzzer?
A big
no.
Yeah.
I think it's like a true flag. I think you like fly a flag from the sideline.
You wave it,
you know. Yeah, kind of like the school, like the school bus. You know what? What am I trying to say? Like
the crossing guards.
Yeah, crossing guard. They've got the big thing on the stick. No, not the stops, but it's just like, you know, you raise a flag. Like, I have a protest.
I like, you know, those, you know, like the little American flags you give your kids on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I envision Huggins, like, there's like a little yellow one that Huggins like holds up and waves every time he wants it, something to be reviewed.
What about a cowbell? Like,
that seems very distracting.
or maybe a triangle. I feel like the triangle doesn't get enough use.
It's a very unsung instrument. It really is.
Back in the day, dinner. You used to call for dinner.
You whack the triangle.
I hear you. Maybe you get one of those on the sideline for the coach.
I think we're the Mountaineers. You could just have the Mountaineers shoot his rifle when you have a protest.
I'm going to tell you right now that if you're not used to that.
That's an attention getter.
It will cause you some neck pain because your neck basically becomes either like a turtle, where I think I've actually had my head like connected to my collarbone at some point because my head just like squishes down in like a turtle.
That's a true. There's got to be a name for that.
Turtlenecking. I think you just coined it.
Yeah.
I think you just coined it. Every time
people turtleneck in the Coliseum a lot.
Yeah, every time the Mountaineer shoots off the rifle in the Coliseum, Scooty turtlenecks.
I was going to tell you, this is unrelated. Went to a high school football game here this past year where they have a cannon, a full-fledged cannon that they fire off when the team scores.
Okay.
Like, you feel the concussion in your chest, and they're not real... Like, they don't, they're not consistent about when they fire this cannon. Is it when they score the touchdown? Is it when they actually put the points on the scoreboard? Is it 5 minutes later? Like, it was never consistent.
Oh, that's awful. You're giving everyone in the stadium, like, PTSD.
That's awful, man. Like,
that is not a good idea. Now, I've been to Rutgers. Rutgers also has a cannon that they will shoot off. Luckily, they never have reason to fire it, so no one gets too scared.
I was going to say, I don't think they didn't shoot it off at all this year. No, right?
I questioned them using a cannon as the Scarlet Knights.
Well, it's guys. So Guido would appreciate this. It's guys that are dressed up in like colonial style clothes and they're off in the one end zone.
That doesn't make any sense.
It reminds me of Patriots.
Minutemen.
Like now how that associates with Rutgers.
Why do I appreciate that?
Guido's wearing his knickers and tights often. As a
Patriots fan.
New England Patriots fan. Yeah.
But can I rebut your opinion, you guys, that you're having?
Can you
just rebut your view of the game or what?
Go ahead.
Rebuke.
Here comes the rebut. So the only silver lining I get from this is what you guys touched on. So I think Scoot said it the other day, and I agree. I think last year's team never claws out of that deficit and makes it a game. And that's what I like. I tend to like about this team. It was kind of like what we saw against Northern Iowa in the Cancun Challenge. To me, it reminded me of one of those games. They didn't play all that great, or at least up to what, you know, we would expect from them for lots of the game, but they didn't let it get out of hand. They're still, you know, tied up, lose within two. And I like that about this team. I think that's going to, so I agree with you there. I think that's going to come in, you know, that's going to have value down the stretch. What frustrates me though. Yeah. But. So the butt for me is, I just feel like this is a game. I thought we were more talented. I think you play this game 10 times, we win it 8 times. I just feel like it's one we had there for the taking, and I wish we would have grabbed it and taken home the win.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying that if we had to lose a game, like, I'd rather lose this game than Austin Peay or Nichols.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I agree.
I think that's more of what it is, and I think this wakes them up a little bit. I mean, you've got Austin Peay, Nichols, Youngstown State, and then you play what is now a sixth-ranked Ohio State team before you start conference games.
Well, and that, you know, string that starts with Ohio State is like a murderer's row. So I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. Scoot, what do you got?
Well, I was going to say the Voice of West Virginia came out with an article this past week by Sean Mullooly that talks a little bit about, it's kind of more your type of article, Johnson, in that it talks a little bit about Culver playing somewhat inspired basketball, yet there is some cause for concern with Oscar Tshiebwe and Jordan McCabe.
And okay. All
especially
right.
In that it appears, or it feels like, we get a on-again, off-again Tshiebwe game. Like, he has double-double, backs into a double-double. Maybe the next game he's kind of quiet and doesn't do anything. Then the game after that, he'll go back to double-double. So there's some inconsistency in his gameplay. And Sean even talks a little bit about how it's concerning about Jordan McCabe and how his lack of presence on the court is maybe even becoming more and more noticeable. He actually mentions how Chase Harler, who I thought played within himself on Saturday, and he actually had just as many minutes.
Just say it. We've given Chase a hard time all season. He looked good on Saturday.
He did, because he stepped into his shots and didn't try to do anything he's not capable of doing, which would look good.
Yeah, he looked good.
Well, and my biggest concern for McCabe is that one week you put him in the NBA Finals, and the next week you say he's your third favorite Irish-sounding name on the team. So that's my biggest concern for him.
I think the problem is, guys, and we're as guilty as, you know, this guy who wrote the article for Voice of West Virginia as everybody else. It's still early. These guys are still getting their ground. You know, it's like you got to give them some time. That's why the NCAA basketball season is built the way it is, because these guys are still trying to figure all that out. I feel like if you were to look at this team play now and against St. John's in the Garden this weekend, and you went back and you looked at that first exhibition game against Duquesne, it's going to look a lot cleaner now. It's going to look a lot more put together. I think that's what we forget. It takes time. And I mean, I'm a little concerned about McCabe. It doesn't seem to be clicking with him. And I don't know if that's him or if that's the other guys are clicking and he's not in that. I don't know what that is. But, I mean, you saw it this weekend with the real deal, Sean McNeil, man, hitting threes, looking good. You know, he played a great game this on Saturday. I just think it's time. I mean, if we're still talking about this a month from now, then we can be there can be a cause for concern.
And I don't disagree with you. I think the same thing. I think they're still feeling it, you know, feeling out how all these pieces fit together. So I'm sure you're right. I agree.
Now,
all right, well, listen.
Now, maybe more importantly, what is the mascot for Austin Peay? We've got them coming up this week.
We're giving away tickets to that game, by the way, Scoot. So if you want to win tickets, you got to hit us up, direct message us the secret phrase, which is
Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear. So anyways, Austin Peay on Thursday night in the Coliseum. Scoot, what is it? I don't even know what the mascot is.
So if you want
today.
A chance to win and see the Mountaineers play the Farmers,
farmers?
He just made that up.
DM.
You made that up.
Huggy Bear.
That's not true.
Up. Is it a garden pea? What is it? Like, hold on. I'm going to look it up.
The snap pea.
The snap
pea? Snap pea?
The Austin
How many
snap
kinds
peas?
Of peas do you know?
I only know snap peas.
Is there a sugar pea?
There's a sugar pea. Right.
Split
pea.
This is good. This is good.
All right.
This is really good.
So are they the farmers?
It's on the level of Nickel State. Do you recall when we talked about Nickel State?
I did, because they're the hot team out of New Hampshire.
No, they're not.
Even better, where is Austin Peay located?
I couldn't even tell you. Let me guess. I'm going to say Austin Peay. Austin Peay to me feels like an inner city kind of college, like a St. John. I'm going to say Austin Peay is it's in Philadelphia.
I feel like you couldn't be more wrong with that whole assessment. Scoot, what do you got?
I've got three options, I think.
Okay. I don't know what that.
You ready for the? Okay, it's either in Savannah,
you're
Georgia.
You're doing okay. All right.
It's either in Tennessee somewhere, or it's in Texas. One of the three.
Okay, you're correct. It's in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So based on that, which helps you. Not at all. What would their mascot be?
Austin Peay. I'm going to say they are the...
Actually, I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe I'm having a moment of... what's the capital of Tennessee? Knoxville.
Knoxville, right? Yeah.
Clarksville, no. I think, is close to Knoxville?
No. Knoxville is not the capital.
Oh, God. No, it's not. I am having a stupid...
No.
Is Nashville the capital?
Nashville is the capital.
Oh, my gosh.
Memphis should be the capital.
You're going to have to edit all this out.
No, I'm keeping all this in.
Oh, my gosh. This is terrible. I can't believe it. Okay, well, anyway. So it doesn't help.
All right, so Clarksville. What are they? Their mascot.
I'm going to say they're the Fighting Sacagaweas, because they're named after Lewis and Clark.
That is... We are now dumber for having listened to your guest, Scoot. They are the Governors.
The Governors.
Governor.
The Governors.
Governor.
That's a horrible mascot. That is a completely horrible mascot.
Is it better or worse than the Nickel State Colonels?
Ooh.
Or as Guido said, the Colonels.
Colonels. Nickel State Colonels. I think it's better. I'd rather be a governor than a colonel.
No. I'd rather be a colonel.
Why is that?
Colonel, you have to earn that rank. A governor, you won a popularity contest.
Okay.
For you, Scoot, that seems like what you'd want to do. No, you'd want to be a governor.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think governor is, is that something supposed to be, feared? Am I supposed to fear the governors?
Well, I don't think you fear the governors.
I don't know.
You don't feel the governors.
And they're generally speaking not very athletic, right?
Please don't tax us.
Well, we could do it. We won't get into political talk, but right now, I don't think West Virginia's governor is that athletic, so we can't really talk. Not to talk politics, but all right, well listen. Let's not forget, folks, all you have to do is send us a direct message on Twitter or on Facebook, message us
the secret phrase is
Huggy Bear. So send us the secret phrase. You'll get entered into a chance to win tickets to Thursday night's game against the Austin Peay Governors. And you can check it out. But listen, let's take a break, hear a little bit from our sponsor, Tactical Legion Knives, and we'll be right back on Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On, Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check out our website, gotyourearson.com. Lots of stuff you can find out about us there. You can get links to how to download and listen to the show. You can see our Twitter feed, find out about who we are, all kinds of different stuff. So definitely check it out. It's Johnson, it's kind of like the hub of Got Your Ears On Nation.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. So we put links to all the show notes that we talk about during the show are right there. And then all your links to iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, everything is right there for you to click on if you want to like and subscribe. The Twitter page is there and the link to Facebook as well. So check that out.
Definitely check it out. It's gotyourearson.com. Guys, I got big news for you. I don't know if you saw this. At the Big Ten championship game, a West Virginia Mountaineer won the Dr. Pepper Challenge, which is he gets $100,000 of tuition money for school. Guy goes to WVU, right?
Yeah, super cool. It's Tyler Gordon. He's a WVU law student.
Nice. So he, Scoot, how does this work? How did he win this again?
I guess you have to throw a football, so many footballs into the hole, and I believe wasn't it shaped like a Dr. Pepper bottle?
Yeah, you've seen that classic competition. It looks like a can of Dr. Pepper. There's a hole near the top, and you've got to fire as many footballs through there as you can in a certain amount of time.
And so he was up against somebody else.
Yeah,
right?
He was competing against someone. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
By looking at his throwing form, it would appear as though he's gotten lessons from me throwing with my offhand.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
That's what it looks like. And it looks rough. None of them look like a legit football pass.
Well, neither one of them were using a football pass, a football motion. They were using like it was more of like a basketball chest pass. Both of them were using that technique.
Like a shovel pass. It was kind of like Geno to Tavon.
Right.
On that jet sweep.
Yes.
You think that's what he was thinking? He was thinking Geno Smith doing the jet sweep pass. That's what he was
Maybe he got confused and thought it was the NBA skills competition. And you know how they have to go around and make a chest pass into the hoop or whatever, into the sphere, the circle?
If you watch the video of him doing this challenge, he starts off horrific. Like, I was like, oh, this guy's got
no
chance.
Could it be his throwing form?
Well, it was rough at first, yeah. But then he got it together.
He got it together. Like, he was missing the bottle completely, like, by feet. And then all of a sudden he got it together, and he strung a bunch out there.
But in Ty's defense, I mean, come on, you're nervous. Well, you know, I mean, it's easy for us to sit here, but so this happened at the Ohio State-Wisconsin championship game. So packed house, capacity crowd, and then they announce you out there to come through footballs through a little hole in a Dr. Pepper can. So,
I would have done Dak Prescott hip swing.
You didn't
the little warm hip ups thing he does.
A little hip warm up.
Warm ups. Get loose.
Now, I was going to just say, Guido, even more concerning than his throwing motion is two. I guess one. I have to go with one first because I didn't go with one. One, there are referees at this thing. Like, there are officials. Did you know that?
Well, yeah.
Like, I mean, in strike rules.
Somebody's got to count how many balls go into
and
the
they
got to
make
Pepper
sure
hole.
He's not, like, doing, like, a Dr. Pepper dunk. I
and
mean, he's kind of probably
this referee
behind a line or something.
That they had officiating apparently moonlights as a WWE wrestler or something because that guy was ripped. Did you see that guy? No. Man, he was jacked.
You were paying way more attention to the referee than anybody else was at the Dr. Pepper halftime challenge.
Why is he so jacked? He's officiating throwing a ball into a Dr. Pepper.
Well, I mean, they're giving away $100,000. Maybe he's going to rough someone up if they try any funny business.
Like he's like the Ed Hockley of Dr. Pepper refs.
Yeah, he was going to say, I would imagine Ed Hockley has a training school of Dr. Pepper referees, and this guy went to it. And part of it is there's a weight program involved.
If that doesn't exist, it should exist. The Ed Hockley Dr. Pepper referee.
You got to see this guy. I'll send you guys a tweet. There's a tweet about him. He's ripped.
You got to hit that up. Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, and is he wearing like Ed Hockley? He's probably if he went to the Ed Hockley,
he's wearing a men's medium.
Yeah, he's probably wearing a boy's medium, right? So to kind of accentuate everything.
Oh, that's great.
But listen, Tyler, I mean, that's awesome. And he said in the interview, I mean, he was super genuine. This is going to change my life. Can you imagine getting $100,000 of your tuition paid? That's amazing.
How much is WVU Law School right now?
Well, yeah, that's a fair question. I mean, that's he's does probably going to need this cover every bit a of year? That, right? Yeah, that's like a semester, right?
Like or now, because he's already started, is it prorated?
No, I would think it's for the next year. So I would assume he gets it for like next semester. Well, for what, however much ever, you know, I don't know, Scoot. Wait, that's too deep. you're making me do math. Now I'm thinking about like. Does it go towards as a loan already?
Does this include those ridiculous $150 computer fees that they throw in there for your tuition? What, I've got a $150 computer fee?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Student center fee. I don't know.
So here's the other question for you, which is or not question but statement. He did his little interview thing. He's all trusting the climb in the interview.
Yeah, super cool. Well, and if you click on his Twitter handle, I mean, his picture is a stripe the stadium, you know, field in the background. I mean, he's obviously a fan, so that's super cool that he brought that up.
So no, what is really he doing good at an Ohio State game? Let's talk about the elephant.
Well,
I
mean, come on, that's the location. No, he signed up to do the contest. He can't.
Yeah, right. Isn't
that
one of those things where you take the cap off and there's a number and you enter it in a website?
He's not picked at random at the game.
No, not at the game. Okay. No, I think he's picked at random for entering online.
And it's not his fault that they drug him to a crappy Ohio State Wisconsin game. Come on.
Oddly enough, we're trying to explain how contests work to Scooty. We're hosting a contest this week, guys, where, Scooty, this is how a contest works. If you message us, either on Facebook or Twitter, the secret phrase, which is Huggy Bear, message us the secret phrase, you can enter it into a contest to win tickets to Thursday night's Austin Peay game at the Coliseum. So that's how a contest works there, Scooty.
The catch is...
to watch the Mountaineers and the Governors.
There is a catch.
The Governors. What's the catch?
The catch is... you cannot throw a ball like that man did.
No.
You've got to, if you're going
to
make a.
You don't have to.
No, you don't have to. I guess
you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to.
So, listen, guys, you know, not going to do basketball season. I don't think we need to be doing any predictions. We do have a couple of games coming up before we have another show. Austin Peay. This is an odd week for WVU basketball, by the way. I don't know if anybody's looked at this calendar, but Austin Peay, we play on Thursday night. And then we turn right back around on Saturday and play Nicholls State during the day, a Saturday day game at 2 o'clock.
Governors and Colonels back-to-back.
Governors and Colonels back-to-back.
Sounds very formal. It feels very formal.
Yeah, right. It does. So we'll be back on Sunday talking about basketball and whatever else happens in the meantime. You know, a lot of recruiting action going on. I think there's a big signing day coming up. A lot of players coming into the program for football. And I know Coach Brown's been out there running around, getting a lot of people, following him on Twitter, man. He's like all over the place. He's jet setting.
Hey, and if you get a chance, check out Voice of West Virginia. Check him out on Twitter, Facebook. Our guy Brad Smith and his guys, they write some great articles. A lot of times we refer back to those articles. So.
And thanks to them for helping us out with the contest for the tickets for the game on Thursday. So check out voiceofwestvirginia.com. Check them also out at Voice of WV on Twitter. Great stuff there. So, guys, awesome show. Still can't get over how awesome it was to have Darius on earlier. It was amazing. So great. Hope he's on again soon. I can't wait till it's, what is it, 240 some odd days until football starts again?
No, don't say that. That's depressing.
It's so sad. It can't come fast enough. I can't wait. So it's going to be a fun season next year, guys. So listen, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, check us out online at Got Your Ears on Twitter, gotyourearson.com for the website. We can't wait to talk to you again. Everybody have a great week. You've been listening to Got Your Ears On.